When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Managing Director, Charts and Data Operations at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Can we just add a couple words to your title?
Sure.
Sure.
I already think it's plenty wordy.
Executive Digital Director.
Digital. It's really hard to say digital. Director.
Digital director.
I just like, yeah.
Mm. Executive Director, Digital Operations.
No.
Hubba hubba. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how U2 becomes just the fourth group with new top 10 albums on the Billboard 200 in every decade from the 1980s onwards.
Love that.
How Coi Leray and Bailey Zimmerman score their first top 10s on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, and how Taylor Swift scores an impressive 7 albums in the top 40 of the Billboard 200 for the first time.
Well, speaking of Taylor Swift, Keith and I had a little pop shop field trip this past weekend to Las Vegas.
Pop shop goes to Vegas. Pop shop goes to Vegas.
And we got to see Taylor Swift's Eras Tour on Friday night, first night of her Las Vegas stint. But that wasn't all.
Nope.
I also attended the opening of Maroon 5's Las Vegas residency. But guess what? That wasn't all that was happening in Las Vegas. Adele was also wrapping up.
What else did you do?
No, Adele was wrapping up her Las Vegas residency, or so we thought.
Tease.
Saturday night would have been her last night, but she announced that she's extending. And on Monday, Kelly Clarkson announced that she is also going to have a new Las Vegas residency. So we're going to talk about all of this pop action in Sin City in just a little bit.
And how clearly we will be in Vegas for multiple weekends
more
in the future.
Pop shop field trips coming. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
All right. Let's do the chart chat. First up, on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Morgan Wallen's One Thing at a Time is steady atop the list for a third straight week, while the lone debut in the top 10 is U2's new covers project reinterpreting their catalog of songs.
Covers of themselves.
Called Songs of Surrender, which debuts at number 5. The set finds the band reinterpreting its own catalog of songs, as I mentioned just a second ago, including songs like Pride in the Name of Love, I Will Follow, and Where the Streets Have No Name, among many, many others.
I mean, it bears mentioning that U2 will also be in Las Vegas in the fall.
That's right. In that new sort of circular sphere thing.
Yes, they're launching that sphere.
I don't think it's leaving the Earth.
They are the first act to play at that sphere. They are launching the opening of that sphere.
Yeah, I mean, they have songs that are perfect for such a spherical venue. Vertigo?
Yeah, you know? Perfect.
Yeah. I saw that sphere in the taxi on the way.
I actually didn't.
It's kind of like it's down by like Resorts World. It seems really far
way
down.
Out there.
Seems,
okay.
I mean, from the cab, it's like, oh, it's right there. But then you realize it's not right there.
Everything looks like it's right there until you walk it.
Don't walk it. All right, so with this debut, U2 becomes just the fourth group to have a new top 10 album in every decade from the 1980s onwards. That's the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, and the 2020s. They follow AC/DC, Def Leppard, and Metallica.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, while they're all groups, they're all rock bands, three of them tend to be a little bit more metal-y, I suppose?
A little harder rock
a
there.
A little harder rock.
But that is like, it's not a crazy disparate group, though.
No, it's not.
It's actually like, I mean, it makes sense because it's four bands that all came up at the same time and have just stayed consistent.
Though I have a feeling that AC/DC, Def Leppard, and Metallica all probably played together some in
at the, some point.
Those two of those three all probably played on a bill somewhere together, but you two maybe never played on
probably
a bill.
Probably not. Yeah. Well, maybe at the iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Oh, true.
Like Def Leppard, I definitely have seen there, and you two we saw there too. So that's an interesting one.
I wonder if you two would have ever played something like Monsters of Rock back in the 80s or 90s. Maybe not.
I doubt it. But I do. I feel like there is. I feel like Def Leppard is actually the connective tissue to you two because they also have some softer, slower jams.
Love Bites.
Exactly.
All right. Next, over on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, as Miley Cyrus's Flowers continues to reign at number one for an eighth total week, Coi Leray and Bailey Zimmerman score their first top tens each as the former's Players jumps 12 to 9. And the latter's Rock and a Hard Place climbs 11 to 10.
I love how much, like, new activity is happening in the top 10 of the Hot 100 lately. Was it the Pink Panthers and Ice Spice song that hit the top 10, like, a couple weeks ago? Mm. I just think it's great. It's always fun when there's a lot of movement up there.
I know. We can sort of kvetch about how sometimes the top 10 is very static.
Yeah.
And then it's nice to see a little bit of fresh blood.
I also love Players by Coi Leray. And she actually released a remix this past Friday with Busta Rhymes.
Mm.
So that will count towards next week's chart. So it could even get another little bump from that.
Oh, sort of off topic, like Busta Rhymes wasn't the only rapper that broke through in the 90s to have a remix thing come out last Friday. Because Missy Elliott is on the new R&B. R&B girl group Flo.
Oh, yeah.
They have a song that came out last Friday, and Missy Elliott's on it. So I was like, wow, Busta Rhymes and Missy Elliott both have new songs today. That's kind of cool.
Keith, if you haven't dove in yet, Flo is, like, right up your alley. I mean, they are a total throwback to the girl groups of the 90s and the early 2000s.
I'm very aware of them existing. I have not dived into their songs yet, and I really should.
But Keith loves a UK girl group, and here we are.
I love the Sugar Babes. I love Girls Aloud, but I am excited about Flo. Also, they worked with MNEK, who's been a guest on the podcast before.
Who always makes just catchy music.
I would love to see a girl group break through some success.
Please.
Yeah, let's make it happen. All right, lastly, in terms of the chart chat, for the first time in her career, Taylor Swift has 7 albums in the top 40 at the same time on the Billboard 200 chart. So since the Billboard 200 was combined from its previously separate mono and stereo LP charts, because that used to be a thing. We used to have separate charts for mono albums and stereo albums. You think Dolby Atmos and, you know, Apple Surround yada yada is fancy. Oh, no. Back in the day, we had a mono and a stereo chart. because albums would only be made in mono or stereo. And sometimes albums weren't even in stereo because it was such a newfangled thing. Anyway, these two charts used to be separate. We combined them in August of 1963. And since August of 1963, Taylor Swift is only the second act, and actually the first living artist, to have at least 7 albums concurrently in the top 40. Previously, the feat was achieved only once in that span of time after the death of Whitney Houston.
Sorry.
It's all right. When the late superstar also had 7 in the top 40 on the chart dated March 17th, 2012. So this week, on the April 1st dated Billboard 200 chart, Taylor Swift has the following titles: Midnights at number 3, Lover at number 13, Folklore at number 14, 1989 at number 19, Red, Taylor's Version at number 22, Reputation at number 26, and Evermore at number 31. And hey, just for good measure, she has 2 more albums on the chart. Fearless, Taylor's Version is at number 52. And Speak Now is at number 69.
I have to say, one point I would like to make, although you're about to say why this is happening, obviously the launch of her Eras tour, but we really thought she was going to have some more re-recordings out before the tour launched. And this is why, because look at, we're over here with 1989 and Reputation and Speak Now with no Taylor's Versions on the chart right now.
Give it time.
Yeah, it'll all happen in good time.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, this tracking week coincides with the launch of the Eras Tour, which we're going to talk about in a second. So it makes sense that all the buzz and publicity around the tour launch, which the tour itself is a career-spanning show, so it makes sense that you're doing a bunch of catalog songs and you're reminding everyone of your classic material. People will be interested to go and re-listen to it.
Well, and if anyone's like me who was going to the Vegas weekend, you know, I immediately tracked down a playlist that a fan had made of the set list so I could familiarize myself with some of the songs. I wasn't worried about – actually, my entire purpose of reporting on the second weekend was, like, what was different from the first weekend.
Okay, fine.
So I kind of needed to be spoiler heavy, but I also just wanted to make sure I was like gonna like get them as much enjoyment, not like, oh, what's this song, but like, oh, this song.
Right. Last thing I'll say about this is that earlier this year Taylor had 10 albums on the chart at the same time, which was in itself a very rare feat. So and at that time in my story on billboard.com, I explained how it is actually a lot easier now to chart multiple albums by the same artist, especially older albums, on the chart due to changes in chart rules over time. So what Swift is doing now was basically impossible to do decades ago due to how the chart worked. So while it is pretty stunning that she's able to do that now, it comes with a lot of caveats. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I tweeted out my story about Taylor having 7 albums in the top 40, and someone responded like, yeah, the only other time this happened was because, you know, Whitney Houston passed away, and it was because of the rules at the time and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's true. Mm-hmm. So it's like you want to amplify the achievement, but also acknowledge the fact that, like, yes.
That if it's kind of like, you know, box office being adjusted for inflation,
right.
It's like, you know, yes, if we went back and applied the same rules today to a chart, you know, 30 years ago, would it have been different or whatever?
Morgan Wallen being in the top 10 for a million years.
Yeah.
Like, is that impressive considering the chart itself is structured in such a fashion to enable such a lengthy run when
right.
in the past it simply couldn't have happened.
Right.
No, no, no. It's fun to discuss.
It is, but I like that you give it some context for the people who are obviously interested in the charts who are listening to this podcast.
Right. Anyway. So we could that's it for the chart chat.
Oh, well, I mean, you were already talking about Taylor, so let's just launch into Taylor Las Vegas, shall we?
Katie and I went to go see Taylor Swift. We did not sit together, though.
We sure didn't.
We were in totally different sections. I did see Katie for about maybe 15 minutes before the show.
Yes.
And that was the only time
I saw
her.
And we did kind of like live text each other updates about what we were eating and drinking on the Friday beforehand.
It's
true. But yeah.
True.
I was like, hey, I've got a coffee bean.
But yes, tell me.
Yeah,
what
so we
like
literally have not had a download after the show. Like,
no.
We haven't even talked about it.
I tried, but I want to point out that trying to get out of a stadium full of
60,000 humans,
60,000 people, and I'm like, I could try to coordinate with Katie and we could try to walk back. I'm like, no, it wasn't happening. That was the last time I saw Katie
I know.
Until today.
It would have been nice, but also I rushed home and wrote my recap that night. Like, I had it published, I think, at 2 a.m. or something. So, and please go to billboard.com and check that out. Mostly it's focusing on what was different from the opening weekend in Arizona, which quite a bit was. The one thing I'd like to bring up first is the thing that I think was most special about our show specifically, which was the lovely speech she gave to Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
Her album had just come out that day, and she has a collaboration with Taylor on Midnights, her most recent album. And so she live debuted that song, Snow on the Beach, and also told all her fans, which is a lot of people, the people there and the people watching the clip, you know, at home, the Swifties, were mobilized around buying, streaming, supporting Lana Del Rey's new album, Did You Know That There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard?
I believe Taylor called Lana a king.
Generous king. So that was really sweet. And also, thank you for making my article so simple to write, Taylor, because that was such a like a great like speech that I was completely not expecting.
She knows there's going to be a newsy nugget every night of the show.
Oh, for sure. So that was awesome. And then that was one of the two songs in the acoustic set for our show. The first one that she performed was our song, which I am obsessed with and is from her first self-titled album, which there's nothing else on the set list from that album.
Does it feel like her first album is only going to be represented by a surprise
song?
So
far,
she's going to run out.
She also did Tim McGraw at Jason's show the first night in Glendale.
And that was one of the surprise songs?
Yes. Mm. Yeah. And so, yes, the answer is the only time there will be representation of self-titled debut album. And you know what? She has to affect a little bit of a country twang that she no longer really has in her music. I mean, she did that in Our Song. She really, like, kicked it up, you know? Like, and you talk real slow because it's late and your mama don't know. She was, like, doing the whole country twang. I loved it. I thought that was great. So I thought we, like, hit the jackpot on our surprise moments, personally.
Hit the jackpot in Vegas?
Yes, I sure do. But Keith, talk to me about your view from things, the Swifties who were surrounding you, the length of this completely insane set list that she does.
I mean, we talked a lot about this last week. Yes. But of course, that was just sort of us reflecting on Jason's coverage.
Reporting, yes.
The first night. So I have not seen a stadium show in a really long time. Mm. So I was fully expecting to walk into the stadium, which I had never been into, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Which is actually very convenient to get to for the most part.
Pedestrian bridge from Mandalay Bay, y'all. Do not try to grab a rideshare there.
No.
Just walk. Just get ready to walk.
Just get yourself to, like, Mandalay Bay adjacent and
exactly.
Then walk for like 20 minutes.
Have a beverage
there.
At the House of Blues beforehand.
See the crazy, like, religious preachers outside.
Oh, my God.
Screaming at you about how you're all going to hell.
Oh, when we walked in, there was a gay couple walking in front of us, and these two girls went and kissed in front of the dude with the big sign, and they took a bunch of pictures.
You should have taken some pictures of this.
It was really fun. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm sure that preacher loved it too.
Yes.
So I was fully expecting to feel like, once inside the venue, it was going to feel like I might as well have been in, like, New Mexico or something, because I'm like, I'm going to be a million miles away. Now, I had in Allegiant Stadium, I had loge seats. Mm-hmm. I was like 130.
Like the lowest section of, like, when you would watch a football game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think like 20 rows off the ground.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, this stadium is enormous.
Enormous.
So if I were in like a normal arena, like the Forum or Staples Center, it would have been a lot closer.
Sure.
So again, I was like, I'm going to be really far away, even though I had really good seats compared to like 80% of the people in the room.
Right.
So, all that said, great seats for what it is, a stadium show. And though it did feel very big most of the time, huge stage, huge screens, big catwalk, I spent a lot of time looking at screens. Mm-hmm. I did actually spend a fair amount of time looking at her on the stage, even though she was an aunt.
But when she would come to that center catwalk, that was probably when she was closest to you.
Yeah, she was still a fuzzy, small person.
Right.
Like, I couldn't, like, make out her facial expressions.
Oh, that was like, so that my tickets were 14 rows away from that catwalk.
You were on the floor, ma'am. You were like, when she came out to the catwalk into the middle and did Snow on the Beach, she was there, right there.
Yeah, you can watch the Billboard reel of Our Song, the first surprise song, and I shot that from my seat. So you can get an impression of how close I was.
For those going to the show or endeavoring to go to the show later, and thinking, I don't know, it's a big stadium show. It's going to feel like I'm a million miles away. Think of it this way. Taylor does a really good job making it feel like everyone is in there together like a big sort of—
It's very communal.
Very communal, big sort of party vibe. Yeah. Everyone is having a really good time. No one is, like, feeling angry. Everyone is up and happy.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's a big room. And the big screens help make it a little bit less, you know, weird, like you're like a million miles away. Like, I might as well just be watching a TV show. It didn't feel like that. Combined with the fact that she also created intimate moments where she would just talk to the crowd and, like, do a story and engage and just be – it's Taylor being Taylor. And in those moments, you kind of felt like, oh, I'm in a much smaller moment.
Yeah.
And she connected to the audience, even though she's talking to 60,000 people through a screen.
Yes.
So, like, her and people like Adele are really good at doing that. Now, granted, Adele actually walks through the audience and talks to human beings. Taylor does not do that here.
She couldn't possibly.
There's no way she could do that, and it would never happen. But all that said, I feel like if you're going into the show and thinking, is this really worth it? It's more than 3 hours of a pop show. That's unheard of. More than 40 songs. That's wild. And they're not all medleys. There's a few shortened songs.
She truncates a few songs. I was kind of bummed that she truncated Style. I love that song.
But you never feel like you're getting like ripped off.
No.
Like, I mean, you're getting like maybe like a minute and a half of some songs.
Yeah.
Like some of like the
Bad Blood, she cut out the verses. Like she only did the choruses and the bridge. Like, yeah. And then you mentioned, you tweeted about You Need to Calm Down. She zeroed in on the part about the LGBT verse. Yeah.
It does kind of feel like, you know, when you see, I mean, and I'll reference my age, you know, when you see Janet Jackson, she's like, I got to play the hits.
Yeah.
And when she does, she like has a very packed set list, but it's a lot of medleys and shortened versions of songs
right.
In order to be like, hey, I know people want to hear like The Pleasure Principle. I'm going to play.
But you
like,
better go buy my new album too.
Yeah. I'm going to play 45 seconds of that.
Yeah. Well, and to that point too, Taylor really goes hard on Midnights at the end of the concert. Mm-hmm. Maybe 7 songs for Midnights, something like that, to end things. And so she's making it clear at the end, like, this is why I'm touring right now. Yeah. Like this album right here.
I mean, it was a lot of Folklore, Midnights, and Evermore.
Yeah. Which, and, there was like a, you know, the All Too Well 10-minute version to represent for Red, and Lover, a huge Lover section too, because she hasn't toured since Reputation. I mean, so she really does over-represent the 4 albums that she did not get a chance to tour around.
I mean, in a way, it's like, under normal circumstances, this would be a tour that is just in support of those 4 albums.
Yeah.
But she's like, I have to do some hits.
Which is why it's 3 hours plus long, because right. She did like give justice to all 4 of those albums, like gave huge showcases to all 4 of those. If you cut out all the, you know, the previous hit songs, that would have still been, for some people, like a regular tour stop, an hour and a half to 2 hour show.
There was this funny moment when I think it was when she had performed Champagne Problems and mm-hmm. the crowd was really, really loud. And I taped, actually, go to my social media. You can see a million videos that I taped. The crowd was really, really loud, and she just sort of paused for a moment to let the crowd react. And then she was like, you know, what's going on? I don't know what to do. I'm right. grabbing onto mic stands, and I'm petting the moss on the piano. And she's like, I'm just really happy, you know, basically, like, I'm really happy to be here tonight to spend, you know, 3 hours with all of you. And then you can see her face. She's like, just 3 hours. And you heard her say like, and the look on her face was like, what did I get myself into?
Right.
Which is kind of funny, but you know, it's all for an effect. It's well, like, clearly she's happy to be there.
A slight side note too. She was at the iHeartRadio Music Awards on Monday night to accept the Innovator Award. And also she won Song of the Year for Antihero too. So a big night for her. There was like a couple tweets from some super fans who were in the front row, and she like kind of like they caught her attention like in a kind of off camera moment, and they're like, how are you? And she's like, I'm so tired. And it's like, yeah, I bet you are.
You probably are. I'm like, my God, you showed up to the iHeart show?
She's already performed 13 hours. Look at that. It's her favorite number. She's already performed 13 hours of the Eras Tour, and she's done 4 dates.
So so the next day, you went to another show.
I did. Maroon 5's Las Vegas residency happened to open on Friday night, the same night as Taylor opened in Las Vegas. And so I was able to make a twofer of it because they also played Saturday night. And man, the dichotomy of the, you know, going to the Taylor, you know, 3-hour, 15-minute to, like, Maroon 5, nothing but radio hits, just nothing but pop radio hits, an hour and 15, maybe.
Hour, like, that's it?
Yeah, but, you know, it's a Vegas residency. They want, like, the, you know, Park MGM and Caesars and all these places that have residencies, they want people back out on the casino floors. Oh, like, that's the whole point of these.
That's too short.
Oh, it was perfect, actually. Yeah. It was, like, perfect.
It should be 90 minutes.
It was perfect, Heath.
Okay, I know you're saying it's perfect. It was at the Park MGM, which is where Bruno Mars
Dolby,
plays.
Dolby Live. Usher's returning there in April.
I've seen Cher for her show there.
It was a 6,000-person venue, which the Caesars venue where Adele plays is 4,000. So it's a sizable venue. Mm-hmm. But it feels, you know, like a nice theater. It actually didn't feel different from, like, the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles that hosts the Oscars, kind of that vibe.
Yeah. It's so big, but it doesn't feel, like, enormous.
No. And it's just so fun. It was just really fun. Like, I think they're the kind of band that has more hits than you realize. They have 32 hits on the Hot 100 and, like, 4 number ones and 14 top tens. And, like, they have, like, a lot of enormous hit songs.
It's just nothing but hits.
And so, and they play, yeah, they play all of them. And they kind of swapped some things out. There was slight differences in the night one and night two set list that I was not mad about, because they played one I really love, their SZA collab, Like Lovers Do. Mm. They played that for my night, but on the first night they played the Future collab Cold instead. So they're like, I think they're switching it up for their newer-ish songs, because, I mean, they're not that new. It's like 2018-ish. But, yeah, so it's I would recommend it to anyone who is...
He's a Maroon 5 fan.
Well, not just that, but, like, anyone who's, like, a pop radio fan. Like, you're going to have fun at this show because you're going to know absolutely everything. Adam Levine, like, totally drives the energy of the show. He's never stops moving, running around. And for the ladies who are interested in such things, he wears nothing but mesh outfits and open shirts and no shirt at all
Sugar. His pants are mesh, too?
Nope, no mesh pants.
Oh, well, then that doesn't count. Sorry, Adam, you got to step up your game.
But I have to say, it was just like, it was so different. I mean, to compare somebody's, like, career-spanning, you know, tour that they're taking around probably the world so far, the United States, to a Vegas residency is silly, because these are totally different things. Like, right. One is something that's like a part of your night in Las Vegas, but not like your entire night. It's like, you know, something you go to and then you keep the party moving, right?
Right.
And but I thought it was so fun. I had a blast. Yeah. So I want to say that they're continuing this weekend. They have dates on March 29th and March 31st and April 1st. And go check them out. It was super fun. But you know, that's not all that's happening in Las Vegas, because Adele also announced that she was extending her Vegas residency, which has been obviously uber successful and hard to get a ticket to. And now we know that people who missed it, you have another chance, because she's coming back on June 16th to the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace. She's also going to film one of these new shows in June for a concert special.
Yeah. We don't know exactly how that will be released. We can pontificate. Will it be a Disney Plus thing, a Netflix thing? Will it be a Blu-ray video, home video? Are they going to release it later in the year? Is it going to come out in June? Are they going to wait till the end of the year? Who knows?
And did you see that she referenced Taylor on stage on Friday? Like, you lot going to Taylor tomorrow.
She said, basically, she was like, didn't she say, like, I love her?
And she was saying, I love her. She's like, she wished that she could go, too. Obviously, she had shows on both nights that Taylor's performing, so that wasn't going to work out. But that's not it, Keith, because Kelly Clarkson is also coming to Vegas for a residency.
Oh, before you move on. Yeah. So Adele has the June shows, and she's going to come back again properly in the fall.
Well, so she has June 16th through the 30th, or actually through July 1st, and then August.
Right.
She's got August 4th.
August through October.
Through August. Yeah, she's got August through October dates. She's got a lot of dates. Actually, it ends November 4th, which is kind of cute, because it's like she started November this past year, so.
Maybe that was the plan all along.
Like a full year of activity. You know, she could have started sooner than June, but Garth Brooks is moving into her theater, like next month. No, May. May is when Garth Brooks starts.
You know, both Adele and Garth have covered Bob Dylan in the past.
Oh, the same song.
Yeah.
Yeah, to Make You Feel My Love. I love that song so much.
So Kelly. Kelly's coming back to Vegas. She had a Vegas residency years ago that I think was nixed because of COVID. So maybe this is a make-good.
That's right. She was actually, I remember she was supposed to she was supposed to host the Billboard Music Awards that year and start a Vegas residency all at the same time. Did not work out. Obviously, the year was 2020. Now, in 2023, she's coming in end of July and has dates in July and August so far. And that one is at the Bakkt Theater, B-A-K-K-T.
Planet Hollywood,
which used to be the Zappos Theater.
Yeah, which is where we've seen Britney and J-Lo.
Exactly.
And a million other people. Also,
exactly.
Kelly announced the title of her new album called Chemistry, which she doesn't have a release. She hasn't announced a release date, but it's coming soon.
And it's labeled a post-divorce album. So just imagine. I'm going to keep bringing up the iHeart Awards, but she duetted with Pink last night, and, like, holy crap. Like, those voices together, they've definitely sang together before.
Yeah.
And Pat Benatar sang one of Pink's songs last night, too, for when she received the Icon Award.
Wow.
So
can we get Pink, Kelly, and Pat together?
Would love that. For Kelly's residency, how about?
Sure.
Vegas is crazy.
Vegas is crazy, and I still did not figure out the right recipe to avoid a headache in Vegas.
Oh, no.
Y'all, the air is just too dry.
Is that what gets you?
I didn't get sick. I want to point that out. Okay. I only had three drinks the entire time I was in Vegas, And I probably drank like 64, 72 ounces of water. I drank so much water.
Oh, so much water.
So much water. And still.
I went, hot tip. Still. Hot tip for the Taylor concert goers. All Too Well 10-minute version, a good time for a bathroom and water break.
Oh, I did not. I was glued to that.
I know. And most probably good fans are. But I was like, I know that I can get in and out so quickly because nobody's going to be there. Which is exactly what happened. I maybe missed 2 minutes of the whole thing with bathroom and buying a water.
Oh, also, if you're interested in merchandise, plan accordingly. Don't think you're going to buy merchandise after the show. You're not.
No, you're definitely not.
Go before the show and see if your venue has an opportunity to purchase merchandise.
Go at 4:30 and get in the line.
The one in the Allegiant Stadium in Vegas was like, we're going to open up at noon so you can come.
Oh, they did?
Like, you can come and buy stuff
beforehand.
You should
have done that, Keith.
I didn't know that.
He's got regrets.
I have regrets. It's a long story.
Regrets. He's got a few.
All right. Now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Now, despite how Las Vegas is an entertainment capital of the world, especially in terms of music, it's a fairly infrequent visitor to the Hot 100 when it comes to song titles.
Ooh, interesting.
In fact, the word Vegas has been used in the titles of just 6 Hot 100 hits. So, Katie, which of these 6 Hot 100 Vegas hits went the highest on the Hot 100?
Okay.
So we have, in order of their debut, Elvis Presley's Viva Las Vegas, Buck Owens' Big in Vegas, Sheryl Crow's Leaving Las Vegas, INXS's Pretty Vegas, Katy Perry's Waking Up in Vegas, and finally, Doja Cat's Vegas. Which of those went higher on the Hot 100?
Just want to make a side note that Maroon 5 incorporates Elvis Presley's Viva Las Vegas into their intro. It's real cute. But I'm going to go with Katy Perry's Waking Up in Vegas.
You are a winner.
Yay!
It went to number 9 in 2009. The only other top 10 on that list is Doja Cat's Vegas. It went to number 10.
You know, I knew it had gone higher than I thought, but I did not realize it was a top 10 hit. Wow.
Like, Elvis Presley's Viva Las Vegas only went to number 29.
That's wild.
It seems like it's a much bigger hit.
I also loved that Sheryl Crow song. Loved Leaving Las Vegas.
Number 60.
That's really weird because it was all over the radio. Was it like a different?
That was the song before All I Want to Do. And I think it was before people knew.
So then they like probably made it a hit after All I Want to Do, but it was like too like.
It was kind of like too late at that point. And it's but it's become obviously an enduring hit for her.
Oh, yeah.
Just to finish the circle, Buck Owens hit number 100 with Big in Vegas and INXS Pretty Vegas. That was that first single with the guy, J.D. Fortune, who won the reality show.
Oh, from the rock star reality show.
Right. That was the first single with him. And that hit number 37.
Great.
So. All right. Well, there you have it. A little Vegas Quiz Katie themed edition of the chart stat.
Woohoo!
All right. We reached the end of our big smoky casino show.
Uh-huh.
Actually, my casino was not smoky. Mandalay Bay, not smoky at all.
I think mine actually is allegedly smoke-free, Park MGM.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. I don't know. Hopefully I'm not making that up, but it seemed like it at least.
any parting words?
Oh, man, I just can't wait to get back to Las Vegas.
Really?
I love it there. My cousin's actually going for the Usher residency next month and was like, you should come meet me. And I'm like, I might.
I enjoy going, but it just literally never fails.
The desert and Keith do not agree.
I had one margarita. My first drink was a margarita at dinner at like 7 p.m. I had the Lover cocktail at Taylor's show, which was, pretty sweet, but good. And then I'm like, oh, I'll go have a second one because I was feeling the fantasy. I go and get a second one. So this is like, at this point, it's like probably like 9:30 or 9:45. About halfway through the drink, I'm like, I already feel a headache. I'm like, how is it? And I'm like, clearly I'm just not meant to drink in Vegas.
Yeah, that's probably the combination of the two.
But anyway, you should have a great time no matter what you do, even if it does not involve drinking. Okay. With all that said, we've reached the end of our big show. Katie, any parting words? What song should we go out on?
Feels like a Vegas song, doesn't it?
Do you want to play one of those Vegas songs?
We just talked all about Sheryl Crow's Leaving Las Vegas and how great it is. So I think that one.
All right. See you guys next time.
Bye.